In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel for the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Tuba is, as you heard, the gospel of the man who was born blind. We also read this gospel during the Holy Great Fast. And we're all very familiar with this passage. And one thing that you'll notice when you read this passage, there's a lot of people who are talking. Some people are talking, some people are responding. There's a lot of question and answer going on. And there are a lot of voices that are sounding throughout this dialogue between the Lord Jesus, his disciples, the man born blind, the Pharisees, the neighbors, the parents, and so on. For example, you'll see that the Lord Jesus, they first asked a question about who sinned, the disciples, and he said neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the glory of God may be revealed. Then the neighbors came after he was healed, and they said, is this not the one who sat and begged? Now he can see. And some of them were divided. Some said it's him. Some said he looks like him. And then he ended up saying, this is me. It's me. I'm the same person. Then the Pharisees came to investigate, and they said, how is it that you received your sight? And he plainly said, okay, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and he told me to go wash my eyes, and now I see. And then they concluded at the end of this that this man is not from God because he breaks the Sabbath, right? So again, all of these questions and soundings. Then the parents, they brought the parents in, and they said, okay, is this your son that was previously born blind, and then how does he see? They said, yes, he's our son. Yes, he was born blind. But by what he means he sees, we do not know. Ask him, he's of age, right? So they had their own answer. And then you'll find that the Lord Jesus finally meets the man who was born blind once he was, put out of the synagogue. He went out to meet him, or out of the temple, and he went out to meet him. And the Lord asked him a question, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said to him, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And then finally you see the Lord Jesus reveal himself very clearly to him. One of very few individuals he revealed to very clearly. And he said, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, I believe, and he worshipped him. So we see there are many voices in the ear of this man who was born blind. And I think similarly nowadays there are many voices in the world that we go and seek their counsel and their advice, and we put their words in our ears, in our minds, and in our hearts. And we listen to these different voices, and we have to realize that these voices that we listen to will shape our thoughts. Then our thoughts will shape our mind. Our mind will shape the influences that will influence us to make decisions in our behavior and our actions ultimately. And there are many false voices that can lead us astray, that can cloud our judgment, and that can confuse reality even, and they can ultimately want to hold us captive to whoever's controlling this voice. There are many voices. They have the voice nowadays of the voice of the algorithm, whether it's be AI or through social media. At the end of the day, there are these voices that we consume and we give our ear to them, but yet there is a hidden agenda behind them. At the end of the day, these people who make these platforms, they're there to make money. They're not there just to simply, help you and to enrich your life and so on. It's there to make money. The people, the influencers who are online and those whom we follow and give our ear to, again, their point is to make money. So they're not simply there just to help you. So sometimes we search for counsel in places that are contrary to the truth that can lead us astray. And it can confuse us and ultimately want to subject us. So I'd like to speak this morning a little bit about who are we asking? When we have something, a question, or we have an idea, where do we turn for this information and what do we put in our mind? And what is this, what results of this? The first misguided counsel that we seek is we seek for light in places of darkness. So we seek for light in darkness. In the Old Testament, after Samuel, the prophet, had died, and at this point, King Saul was already rejected as king, and King David was now the established king, although he was still running from Saul. And it came time for him to go to war, or there was the enemy of the Philistines were coming upon him, and he didn't know what to do, and Samuel was dead. And he prayed, and God wasn't answering him because he was already rejected. So what does he do? He goes to the medium. The medium's like the people who call upon the demons, right? He goes to the medium to inquire about what he should do, to go whether to go to war or not. So he goes to the medium to see if she can call Samuel, so he can ask Samuel where to go, whether he should go to battle or not. And he goes to the medium. So he goes to the place of darkness, seeking truth and light. But of course, he can't do that. He can't go to darkness to seek somewhere that is light. And at the end of the day, Samuel did come. You know, God granted him permission to come, and he spoke with Saul. And what did he tell him? He told him what? The Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me, meaning they're going to die, right? So by searching for his guidance and light in the place of darkness, his end was his destruction, him and his family and his sons. Sometimes we seek direction and guidance in our life from things that can, in our life, and turn other things that we, if we sense God is silent. So sometimes if we pray and we feel like God is silent, then we'll turn to other things and we'll ask God and we'll ask other people for other things, their advice and input, so we can make a decision because we see that maybe God is silent. But maybe God's silent for a reason, right? Is sometimes, you know, they say like silence is still can be an answer. If you ask somebody something repetitively and they're silent, this is an answer, right? So maybe God's silence is part of his answer. But if I can't take that, then I start to search for other people to tell me what I want. There are many types of these kind of light and darkness. For example, we can search in these like self-help books. I might have a spiritual problem, and I go to something like in psychology to try to help a spiritual problem. You're not going to find the real solution there. You might find a Band-Aid, but it's not going to be the real solution because the solution is a spiritual sickness, not a psychological sickness. Sometimes we'll go to friends and we'll ask their advice, and these friends have no regard to God nor your salvation, but yet we seek them because maybe they can tell us what we want to hear. And then sometimes we go to what we call the experts. You know, nowadays everybody seems to be an expert, and they'll say, well, they'll come and say, they said that this is what you should do. Who is the they? Oh, it doesn't matter who they is. It could be anybody, right? But they meant somebody must be an expert, so we'll just say they said it. And because they said it, we believe it. Why is it because they said it, we have to believe it? What gives them credibility, right? So we can't allow our ears to be, you know, given to people who just claim they know what they're talking about, but they really don't know what they're talking about, right? We need to be cautious of this. The second type of misguided counsel is seeking the truth from a liar. Seeking the truth from a liar. Sometimes we seek assurance and validation from those who only affirm us, mean only those who agree with us and just say, you know, bravo aleik, good job. We believe we agree with you 100%. We're behind you, right? For example, like I mentioned, sometimes we go to our friends. And the friends that, you know, really tell us the truth, we don't go to when we don't want to. We go to the friends who just say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and they'll clap for you, just so we can, you know, calm and ease our conscience. Sometimes even people will go to these chat bots. You know, this is very popular nowadays, unfortunately. But these chat bots are like computer AI generated, you know, bots on the phone or the computer that you can have a discussion with. And you'll find these kind of discussions, the purpose of the discussion is to keep you engaged. And they'll give you some of the truth, and then it won't be honest with you all the time, right? And sometimes it can be misleading, but it just wants to affirm whatever it is that you think. If you think life is good, they can tell you life is good. If you think life is bad, it'll tell you life is bad, right? Again, the idea is to get your money at the end of the day and keep you on the platform. The same thing goes with these online chat groups. We'll find people get into these chat groups again, where I feel like they sympathize. So if I'm having a problem in my marriage or with my friends, I'll find a chat group where everybody in the chat group is having a problem with their marriage, and we find we're just kind of gossiping and bashing everything and everybody. And I find myself being taken into this, right, and trying to get the source of my comfort and what is true from somebody who doesn't know the truth or is not living the truth. In the scripture, we find this many times. We find when the Lord Jesus, when he after he had cast the demon from Simon Peter's mother-in-law, it said the demons also came out crying and they said, "You are Christ, the Son of God." Is this true? Is Christ the Son of God? It's true. So the demon said something that was true. But what did the Lord Jesus do? He said, "And he rebuking them did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." So he silenced the demon that spoke the truth. Same thing happened with St. Paul in Acts chapter 16. He was in Philippi and he was preaching, and there was a slave girl who had a demon. And then when St. Paul came to him, she said to him, "That you are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." This is true. And then it immediately says after that that Paul was annoyed and he cast a demon from this slave girl. Why was he annoyed? And why did Christ rebuke the demon when it spoke the truth? Because the truth doesn't need the liar to proclaim it. The truth has the truth bearers to proclaim it. That's what St. Paul was doing. He's the bearer of the truth, so he was the one that God entrusted to deliver the truth. He doesn't want the people to listen to the truth from the liar. You know the danger in this? One day, although he might be saying the truth, it's going to be one day be mixed with the lie. And if I give him an ear to the truth, I'll also give him an ear to what? To the lie as well. So I end up believing a liar and seeking truth from a liar, but I won't find it. All I find is confusion. Truth spoken from a corrupt source is corrupt, right? And truth mixed with lies is also corrupt and can lead us astray. Beware, anybody who's using these chatbots, these things, again, they don't have a moral compass. A couple months ago, I watched a hearing in the Senate, and these chatbots convinced that there was a panel there of parents who had lost their children, and they had taken their children and taken their lives because of these, you know, chatbots, because they affirmed whatever it is they wanted to hear. So they took their life, and they were up there saying that these people who make these should be held accountable. So there's no moral compass in these kind of things. You got to be very careful in how you deal with them. Sometimes we seek enlightenment from the blind. Some people follow and idolize those who do not follow Christ nor regard his commandments. If you think about, like, what do we call or what are you called when you subscribe to somebody's channel or page? What are you called? A follower, right? So if you're called a follower, that means somebody's leading. And if somebody's leading, you have to ask the question, where are we going? Right? Where are we going? If I'm a follower, where are we going? Right? Is where this person is taking me where I want to go? Is he taking me along the path of Christ where Christ wants me to go? Am I following just to follow because this person is eloquent, because this person is popular, because they're funny? Whatever it is, what am I following? Right? We have to ask that question. Who am I following? We don't just follow people just to give and do them a favor. Right? We follow them because they're leading a place that I want to go. The Lord Jesus warns us. He says, if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. If I follow the blind, then I will be blind like them, and I will follow into the ditch. And in Isaiah, he says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. So who am I following and where am I going? Is the person I'm following going to get me addicted to some kind of bad behavior? Is it going to influence me to indulge in the passions? Is it going to feed in my heart hatred, anger, and resentment to other people and to those who are around me? Is it going to lead me to judgment or maybe perhaps to jealousy? I'll look at the person and all that they have and I become jealous. Ask yourself, where are we going? Sometimes we seek the shadow rather than what is real. Sometimes we draw or are guided by the creation rather than the creator. And this is what St. Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 1. He says, they have exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. Sometimes we can get so occupied by what God has given us and we forget the God whom we're following. This is exactly what happened with the Israelites in the Old Testament. Right? God had just split the Red Sea for them. And they had walked and there was a wall on their left and their right, and they walked on dry land in the midst of the Red Sea. And as soon as they got to the other side and Moses went up to the mountain to get the commandment from God, some people maybe that came from them with from Egypt, they said, you know what, we had gods back there, why don't we just make our own god? And the people said, yeah, let's make our own god. So they made a statue of gold, calf, and they began to worship it, saying that this is the god that brought us out of Egypt. Okay, just like that. Just like that. They made an idol, and that's what they worship. They worship the creature, the created, rather than the creator. Sometimes we can do the same thing. We're too occupied with what we want God to give us, rather than the one who is giving it, having a relationship with them. How would you feel if your friends, the only reason they're your friends is because they want something and you give it to them? Do you remember the story of the prodigal son, the lost son? As long as he had the father's money, he was not in need, and he had many people around him. But as soon as the money was gone, was anybody around him? He didn't have a single friend. And even the person that allowed him to stay with the pig had no mercy on him either, right? He didn't give him any food. He said, if you want, you can stay with the pigs, to the point where he wanted to eat the food of the swine, right? So sometimes we seek the shadow and we forget what is real. We forget the one who gave us these gifts. Sometimes we seek counsel from the famous over those who are entrusted. There's a story in the Old Testament when David was already king, that one of his sons, Absalom, right, wanted to usurp his father. He wanted to take the kingdom from his father. So how is he going to do this when most of the people are loyal to his father David because he judges for them? So he set up like shop in the gate of the temple, of the gate of the city, and anybody who had an issue would come, and as they're coming to the king to get counsel, he would say, you know, I'm his son, I'm the prince, tell me your situation. And he would solve their situation from, you know, the gate, and they wouldn't have to go to the king. You know, it was very convenient. It's like now, you know, instead of us going to the store, we can just order online and it comes to us. You know, it's very convenient. So it's very convenient for the people to go to Absalom. So day after day, he began to find favor in the eyes of the people. And then he began to have a following. So he gained popularity, right? And this is exactly what he did. The people began to trust him because now he was famous and he's the king's son and he does for us what we want. But that's not who was entrusted to judge the people. The one who was entrusted to judge the people was David. That's who they should be going to, right? Because God was with him. Sometimes when we go and we look for information from people who are just simply famous, right? Or people who are online or influencers, the end of it is not okay, but they're not credible. They're not somebody who's entrusted with this, right? You don't go to a chatbot and say, okay, diagnose me. Or we shouldn't. Maybe we do, but we shouldn't, because the chatbot doesn't see you. It's not going to examine you. It's just going to ask you questions. Whereas when you go to the doctor might see things that you may not even describe. And you're going to go, and then he'll see things or she'll see things, and then you say, you know what? What about this? I see this in your eyes. The chatbot's not going to look in your eyes and say, okay, you might have a liver problem. You won't tell them that, right? But the doctor will know. So you can't replace that. You can't replace that. So we need to, okay, if I'm looking for something, for example, in theology, then I go to those scholars who are in theology and I look for it. I don't go to a chat. I don't go to a professor of history to learn about theology. I don't go to a mathematician to learn about, like, biology. You go to each one in their field. We need to be very careful, okay? Seek counsel not from those who are famous and loud, but those who are entrusted and credible. As St. Paul says in the Hebrews, watch out for your souls. Lastly, we can be misguided by our own counsel, the ego, the me. There are some people who go to nobody but myself. I am the ultimate, like, arbitrator of truth in my life and in my family. And what I say goes, and what I think is always right. I don't need counsel from anybody else. This, I'll respond by a few verses. The Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We are very limited in our understanding, right? Even if we had the power of the AI things that can search things and tell us some things, this still doesn't give us the wisdom that goes with the knowledge. This is a gift from God, right? And again, this stuff can be erroneous, by the way. There's a lot of things that, you know, if you've experienced these things, it makes up a lot of stuff. عاملين زي الناس بتاعت مصر. When you go تسأل حد على directions في مصر, فيش حد يقول لك I don't know, مش كده؟ They always tell you some direction even if they have no idea where they're going, right? But these chatbots are like, they're not going to tell you I don't know, they'll make up something, right? So you have to be careful. If you're wise, you know, مش فاهم أي حاجة, let me ask somebody else, يمكن فاهم, right? We have to be careful. Don't be wise in our own eyes. And in Proverbs, it says what? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Be careful in just trusting yourself in everything. So where do we find the wise counsel? Really quickly. We find, number one, we find the counsel or the right counsel in Scripture. Look what St. Paul says to a disciple, Timothy. He says, but you must continue in all things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So now he's addressing his disciple. Say, know where you have learned what you have learned, okay, and who it was that you learned from, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? He says it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, for correction like in one's life, right? For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible provides the foundation of every good work. When I look at any work, whether it's my career, or whether it's how my dealings with my friends, or what to do or where to go, it should be based off the filter and lens of Scripture. Right? Is this something that is pleasing to God and permissible by God or not? This is number one. The second is we receive the wise counsel from the church. St. Paul says again to his disciple Timothy that the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. We have many denominations nowadays, right, who use the same Bible, but we say different things. Okay, so who's right? Who's to say who's right? The Bible came from the church, right? The church came before the Bible. And from the church was born the Bible, what the early writers of the Scripture wrote, right? So how do we know then what they meant by writing what they wrote in Scripture was going back to the church? What was their tradition they taught their disciples and how did they live? We have to go back to that. And thank God a lot of this was preserved for us in the writings of the early church fathers. So we find wise counsel in the church. Number two is, we find wise counsel from those who are concerned with our salvation. So when you go to want to find advice, the person that you're asking should have in mind your salvation. Okay, if somebody has nothing to do with your salvation, again, maybe if it's in a particular field, like if you need help with a particular subject in school, this is what it's limited to. But it's not my life decisions, right? My life decisions should be taken counsel from somebody who, again, understands that I'm a Christian and this is my path and my calling. Also, number four, seek counsel from those who are knowledgeable in a particular field, as I said. And number five, those with wisdom of experience, right? So again, you go to those who have experience in what you're asking, right? For example, sometimes some people might go to a monk, right, and ask for advice for their marriage. He doesn't have an experience. He'll tell you maybe from the Bible and from what he's heard, right? But he didn't live it. Living it is different than just hearing about it, right? So maybe another layer is I need to find somebody who is married and has a family and who is credible and ask them as well because they lived it. And then you can combine and mold the two advice together and hopefully come up with a good answer. Everyone in this story from today was speaking, right? But only Christ was speaking, the truth and something that led to the salvation of this man who was blind and now he was enlightened and he gained salvation. So just real quick, we said that the question of the sermon was where do we ask or whom do we ask and what counsel do we seek? There's the misguided counsel where we seek light in darkness, we seek truth from a liar, we seek enlightenment from the blind, and we seek the shadow rather than the real. We seek counsel from the famous rather than those who are entrusted. And finally, we might seek it from the ego or from oneself. But where do you find the sound counsel? We find it from the church. We find it in Scripture. We find it from those who are experienced and those who are knowledgeable about a particular field. May God give us the wisdom as we navigate through this, you know, era that we live in, to give our ear to those who are credible and those who are looking out for our salvation. May God be glorified and the church glory be to God forever. Amen.